Hello and welcome back, all my fellow paranormal aficionados. I am back after a lengthy, unexpected break, having graduated from grad school, now working two great jobs, but man, I was not expecting to take such a break with the podcast. I had a bunch pre-recorded, but 'tis the season for us to talk about all things spooky, so I said I gotta get back at it and make sure that I get something recorded at least for the spooky season, upcoming Halloween in a week, less than a week at this point, my favorite holiday and day of the year, Samhain on the Wiccan calendar, and I have several fun things for us to talk about, several fun podcasts, episodes for us, so keep an eye out, and I'll be releasing them all this week because, yeah, it is Halloween, the countdown to Halloween on Samhain on Monday, and it's, in my opinion, the best week of the whole year. So, for Halloween, the main topic I wanted to cover was the topic of jack-o'-lanterns. I believe I've briefly mentioned this in episodes past, but one of my favorite things, if you're my friend, you probably know, one of my favorite things in the entire world is a jack-o'-lantern, are jack-o'-lanterns. That spooky, beautiful glow that they give off when they cast that orange, buttery yellow, tangerine orange, deep autumn, fall orange color, and I just love the flickering that they give off. And honestly, I've said this for many years, if I could just surround myself with jack-o'-lanterns and somehow make that be something I do for a living, I would do it. I love them. I love all things jack-o'-lanterns. So I wanted to delve into them a little bit more. At first, I thought there can't be a full episode's worth of information about them. And then the more I looked into it, as I was trying to figure out what the heck to do for the main topic for this year's Halloween episode, because I always like to have at least one thing, I found a lot. But first and foremost, let's go ahead and crack a jack-o'-lantern themed beer. So I'm drinking the Grizzly Paw Brewing Company, and it's called Jack-o'-lantern Pumpkin Ale, and it's an awesome can with some jack-o'-lantern, big jack-o'-lantern art on the front of it. And here we go. Ooh, that's delicious. That's very pumpkiny. So I'm glad that I was able to find something not only pumpkin flavored but jack-o'-lantern themed, and something that's also delicious for this episode. So, we're going to start off with basically where did jack-o'-lanterns originate? What was it in a certain culture? Is it a myth or a legend? So, we're going to start off with the legend of Stingy Jack. How jack-o'-lanterns originated in Irish myth. Before we carved pumpkins, the Irish chiseled creepy faces onto turnips. Pumpkins with ghoulish faces and illuminated by candles are a sure sign of the Halloween season. The practice of decorating jack-o'-lanterns originated in Ireland, where large turnips and potatoes served as early canvases. In fact, the name jack-o'-lantern comes from an Irish folktale about a man named Stingy Jack. Irish immigrants brought the tradition to America, home of the pumpkin, and it became an integral part of Halloween festivities. So the legend of Stingy Jack goes as such. According to the story, Stingy Jack invited the devil to have a drink with him. True to his name, Stingy Jack did not want to pay for his drink, so he convinced the devil to turn himself into a coin that Jack could use to buy their drinks. Once the devil did so, Jack decided to keep the money and put it into his pocket next to a silver cross, which prevented the devil from changing back into his original form. Jack eventually freed the devil under the condition that he would not bother Jack for 1 year, and that Jack should die, he would not claim his soul. The next year, Jack again tricked the devil into climbing into a tree to pick a piece of fruit. While he was up in the tree, Jack carved a sign of the cross into the tree's bark so the devil could not come down until the devil promised Jack not to bother him for 10 more years. Soon after, Jack died. As the legend goes, God would not allow such an unsavory figure into heaven. The devil, upset by the trick Jack had played on him in keeping his word not to claim his soul, would not allow Jack into hell. He sent Jack off into the dark night with only a burning coal to light his way. Jack put the coal into a carved-out turnip and has been roaming the earth with it ever since. The Irish began to refer to the ghostly figure as Jack of the Lantern, and then simply Jack O'Lantern. In Ireland and Scotland, people began to make their own versions of Jack's lanterns by carving scary faces into turnips or potatoes and placing them into windows or near doors to frighten away stingy Jack and other wandering evil spirits. In England, large beets are used. Immigrants from these countries brought the jack-o'-lantern tradition with them when they came to the United States. They soon found that pumpkins, a fruit native to America, make perfect jack-o'-lanterns. So that's the little history on how it actually came about. And the next thing I wanted to go over was just some jack-o'-lantern facts. There's a few things that I didn't even know about. So the first one is the largest jack-o'-lantern ever carved was from a pumpkin weighing 1,810 and a half pounds. It was carved by Scott Cully in the Bronx on October 30th, 2010. The pumpkin holds the record for the heaviest pumpkin ever as well. The most lit jack-o'-lanterns on display is 30,581, which was achieved in Keene, New Hampshire by the company Let It Shine Incorporated. Keene has broken the record 8 times since its original attempt, and the fastest time to carve a pumpkin on record is 16.47 seconds, achieved by Stephen Clark on Pix 11 Morning News in New York, New York, on October 31st, 2013. So, keeping along this theme of some facts, we can list a few more. So the jack-o'-lantern is believed to represent Christian souls in purgatory, and prayers would be said after the lantern was lit. During the pagan feast of Samhain, local communities would light a bonfire. To bring protection during the dark winter months, each family would take a burning coal from the fire and place it in a turnip, which they would use to light the hearth upon returning home. In England, such an object became known as Will o' the Wisp. In the 1600s, a wisp was a bundle of sticks that was lit to use as a torch. Punky night, P-U-N-K-I-E, punky night was a 19th century tradition in Somerset, England. On the last Thursday in October, children would walk through the streets carrying jack-o'-lanterns and sing, "Give me a candle, give me a light. If you haven't a candle, a penny's all right." The Irish headless horseman known as the Dullahan would hold his own luminescent skull aloft as a jack-o'-lantern while searching for his next victim. And in Washington Irving's Legend of Sleepy Hollow, the jack-o'-lantern was used in place of the severed head of the horseman. After Ichabod Crane encounters the headless rider, he disappears forever and all that was found was Ichabod's hat and a smashed pumpkin. And if you haven't listened to it yet, I did do an entire episode on Tarrytown and Sleepy Hollow in New York. Although it's a stone's throw outside of the 518 area code, it's just such an infamous place and said to be one of the top places to visit, especially this time of the year. So I definitely recommend checking that episode out if you haven't. We delve into the whole history of that area and that legend. Someone named Ignis Fatus, I-G-N-I-S, F-A-T-U-U-S, is a ghostly marsh gas phenomenon that was also become known as Will-o'-the-Wisp, Dew, or Jack-o'-lantern that translates as foolish fire. The tradition of carving competitively can be traced back to the 19th century Ireland and in the Limerick Chronicle of 1837. It reported on a pub in the city holding a competition for the best crown of Jack McLantern. A jack-o'-lantern would be lit and placed in the windows of homes throughout Celtic regions as the light would reveal any vampires or undead roaming the night. During the Feast of Samhain, it is said if the candle in your jack-o'-lantern flickers, it is being touched by the ghost of a dead family member. The jack-o'-lantern or pumpkin is still used today as a method of divination for contacting the spirit realm. I did not know that. I did know if it flickers. I always watch my candles in my house and get anxious sometimes. I did not know that it was a method used as a method of divination. The tradition of the jack-o'-lanterns made its way to North America along with Irish immigrants of the 18th century. With the humble turnip not as easy to come by in the United States, it was discovered that pumpkins were plentiful and easier to carve. So those are some awesome Halloween jack-o'-lantern facts that I did not know about prior to researching this. The next thing I want to talk about, and probably one of my favorite things having to do with jack-o'-lanterns, are the festivals that are held all across the United States. I want you to just sit back right now, relax, and picture yourself walking through either a wooded path or an area that is completely surrounded, a road or a path of some sort that is completely surrounded by carved jack-o'-lanterns. They're on the ground lining the sides of the path, and then all the way up, they're stacked high as far as the eye can see. And all you have around you is the darkness of either the woods or the area that you're in, and these flickering of these thousands upon thousands of jack-o'-lantern faces lit and illuminated by candles, by special lighting. And you smell perhaps a bonfire or fireplace crackling in the distance. You get the fall autumn leaf smell of the leaves that have fallen. You maybe get a hint of the crisp fall air as you walk through it. And you just enjoy this myriad of different faces glowing and flickering around you. So the first one I wanted to mention was, because it's the one that really got me into this idea of a festival or a walk, a jack-o'-lantern festival or a walk, is the Louisville Jack-o'-Lantern Spectacular. I really recommend checking this out if you're ever in the area. I've actually considered road tripping down just to see it. I have yet to go, but after seeing photos of it and the way that they do it, I really got into the idea of creating one of these myself or being part of it somehow. I like the Louisville Jack-o'-Lantern Spectacular because theirs is set in the woods, and there's just something extra autumn and fall and spooky about that setting. So they describe it as a luminary art experience. The Louisville Jack-o'-Lantern Spectacular has become the must-see event of the Halloween season. Presented each October along a winding path through the majestic woods of Iroquois Park, guests are treated to an organic art gallery of more than 5,000 artistically carved pumpkins in themed settings. This family-friendly event has become an annual tradition for thousands who come back each year to experience a variety of themed vignettes set to music. Ask anyone who has attended. This event simply can't be described. It must be experienced. And if you go to jack-o'-lanternlouisville.org, they have a video, if you scroll down, as if you were walking through this amazing setting. So it's really transfixing. I hope to get there in the next few years. It looks absolutely incredible. They go pretty far back into the woods. That's what I like about it. It really feels like a fully immersive experience in an area that is truly organic. Like they said, you don't see any sign of kind of contemporary life as you walk through this display. And I really love that. So let's talk about a few other ones. We'll start with the next one. We'll start with the one that I think is the closest to us and one that I have actually been to. It's the Great Jack-o'-Lantern Blaze, and it's down in Croton-on-Hudson in New York. So it's close to actually Sleepy Hollow. I know that. And Castleton-on-the-Hudson, I think, is fairly close also. In the Great Jack-o'-Lantern Blaze, over 5,000 individually hand-carved illuminated jack-o'-lanterns are spookily and artfully arranged around an 18th century Riverside historic site. The elaborate outdoor walk-through experience comes complete with atmospheric music, sound effects, and professional lighting, and generally runs from October 2nd to November 7th. Now, that one sells out very quickly, so I definitely recommend if you want to make the trip down. I think it was about an hour and a half for me one way. I met my friend there. It was totally worth it. It was just filled with really inventive ways of displaying the pumpkins. There was a zodiac display, there was a working carousel, there was a full graveyard, and true to the description, it really is arranged on an 18th century Riverside historic site. So there was at one point a beautiful old historic, I want to say, cottage that had what looked like a trail that just went into the distance, and they had the simulation of the Ichabod Crane story of the Headless Horseman. You could hear the hoofbeats, and it was really cool and definitely worth the time and money to go down, because you could spend a couple hours there. The next one, and one that's on my to-do list, is on the Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular, which is in Providence, Rhode Island. So every Halloween season, the Roger Williams Park Zoo transforms its wetlands trail into a spooky display of 5,000 glowing pumpkins. Over 30 professional carvers, that's a job it says, spend 6 weeks creating the jack-o'-lanterns, which are each placed in group themes. This year's theme is jack-o'-lanterns from A to Z, and I'm not sure when this article was published, so I don't know what actually 2022's theme is yet. Intricate pumpkin art will be organized in alphabetical order with highlights from history and pop culture. Spot these pretty pumpkins between October 2nd and November 2nd at the Roger Williams Park Zoo. I've seen photos of that, and it looks fantastic. The next one, we're heading over to St. Joseph, Missouri, and it's the Pony Express Pumpkin Fest. This weekend-long festival takes place at a former stop along the Pony Express, which is now a museum. Head over early for a day of live entertainment, a children's costume parade, festival rides, games, crafts, and food. When the sun goes down, stick around for the headlining event, the Lighting of the Pumpkin Mountain. Nearly 1,000 hand-carved jack-o'-lanterns are stacked over 25 feet high and come to life with the click of a switch. The annual festival is set to take place on or around October 10th through 12th. The next one, we're going to Dearborn, Michigan. Halloween in Greenfield Village. For this eerie event, make the way to the Living History section of the Henry Ford Entertainment Center. Take a stroll down streets and alleys covered in over 1,000 carved jack-o'-lanterns. Actors in period clothing and costumes act out several vignettes throughout the trail, complete with the headless horseman riding a real horse. Head over for the mile-long walk on or around October 10th through the 26th. The next one, and I've heard about this one, is the Keene Pumpkin Festival in Keene, New Hampshire. A pumpkin festival to top all pumpkin festivals. This event has been an annual treat for over 20 years. The world record for the number of jack-o'-lanterns lit at one event has been broken here 8 times. Last year, they broke the record again, reaching 30,581 pumpkins. So that's a whole lot of pumpkins. That's a whole lot of gourds. See the site for yourself on or around October 18th. So I'm not sure when it was this year. And I know the Keene Pumpkin Festival, I've heard and read that there was it kind of got out of control, and I think vandalism ended up happening one year, so they shut down. This was before COVID for like 3 or 4 years, I want to say. So hopefully it's back up and running. The next one is Highwood Pumpkin Fest in Highwood, Illinois. The city of Highwood also attempts to break world's records at their annual festival for the most jack-o'-lanterns lit in one location. This year, the festival has partnered with the Autism Society of Illinois. The hope is to carve and light 52,000 pumpkins this year to represent the number of individuals impacted by autism in Illinois. The festival will take place October 17th through 19th. And I'm just going to go check. So this was written back in October of 2014. So I wonder if they reached that 52,000 goal. The next one is in Worcester, Massachusetts. It's called the Great Pumpkin Fest. Local youth groups carve about 1,500 pumpkins for the after dark display held on the grounds of the Ecotarium. which is a popular children's science and nature museum. This event, geared towards kids 10 and under, comes complete with full admission to the museum, a pumpkin carving demo, and a digital planetarium show and trick-or-treating. It's generally around October 25th. The next one, we're going to head over to two places. It's Camp Sunshine Pumpkin Festival, and it happens in two locations, Weston, Massachusetts and Freeport, Maine. The first is set to take place at the Weston Town Green in Massachusetts on October 18th, where there will be live music, a silent auction, tasty treats, and kids' games. The second will be at the L.L. Bean's flagship store in Maine, where guests can enjoy live tunes, tasty treats, games, and a costume parade. The festival no longer holds the record for the most lit jack-o'-lanterns in one place, but you're still likely to find over 10,000 of them, and that's not too shabby. The event is ultimately a fundraiser for Camp Sunshine, which is a retreat for children with life-threatening illnesses and their families. The next one is Rise of the Jack-O-Lanterns, and that's in two places as well, Los Angeles, California, and Long Island, New York. More than 5,000 hand-carved jack-o'-lanterns created by professional artists and sculptors are arranged in artful displays throughout a quarter-mile scenic trail. Throughout the multi-century walk, visitors will see a recreation of the New York City skyline, favorite sports and TV stars, a giant graveyard made of jack-o'-lanterns, and a prehistoric arrangement of life-size dinosaurs. This event takes place in LA from October 3rd to November 2nd, and in Long Island from October 16th to November 2nd. The next one is Glow Night, and that's in Bluemont, Virginia. During the day, Great Country Farms has got a whole bunch of pumpkin-themed festivities. At 7:30 p.m., nearly 2,000 jack-o'-lanterns created by local students are lit up. There's a competition for best in glow, scariest, and funniest. Afterwards, the orange fruits are used for the Pumpkin Chunkin' Week, where they're dropped from a 40-foot lift in an upside-down fireworks display. The festival is occurring from September 27th through October 31st at Great Country Farms. So that sounds hilarious in the with the fireworks display. And then the next one is Night of 1,000 Jack-O-Lanterns on Governor's Island. I had never heard of this one. The journey to this jack-o'-lantern display begins with a quick ferry ride from the Battery Maritime Building in Lower Manhattan to Governor's Island. Night of 1,000 Jack-O-Lanterns features more than 1,000 illuminated jack-o'-lanterns carved by artists from around the tri-state area and staged along a tree-lined pathway with centuries-old buildings, including former military fort and prison Castle Williams as the backdrop. The family-friendly event also features live carvings and painted pumpkins. And it looks like in 2014, it was the last 2 weeks of October. So those are the major big jack-o'-lantern walks. The Louisville Spectacular, like I said, has always stuck out to me. The Providence, the one in Providence at the Roger Williams Zoo has always stuck out to me as well. And then the one in Keene, because I think that's kind of how this all really started at the end of the day, is Keene was, I think, one of the first ones, if not the first one, to actually do it. And then I just wanted to mention one more really crazy funny thing that related to a pumpkin carving and a festival is the underwater pumpkin carving contest in Key Largo, Florida. And I'll post a picture. There are scuba divers who actually carve pumpkins underwater. So it might not feel like fall in Florida, but that doesn't mean you can't enjoy autumnal activities. Scuba divers partake in an annual pumpkin carving contest underwater. It's so crazy. So I just thought that would be really fun to mention, and I will definitely post a picture of that. And last but not least, I just wanted to end with a beautiful poem that I found. I thought it would be a good way to wrap up this jack-o'-lantern spectacular of our own, this episode dedicated to one of my favorite things in the world. And this poem is by Marguerite Goad, and it's entitled Jack-o'-lantern Village. And it looks like it came out straight out of the pages of a turn of the century periodical or something in the early 20th century that someone accompanied with a beautiful little spooky drawing. So I'll make sure to post a picture of that. Jack-O-Lantern Village. Jack-O-Lantern Village lies somewhere in between the last gray wall of twilight and the dark of Halloween. Its streets are dim and winding, its houses weirdly bright, with pumpkin lamps that flicker and yellow candlelight. If you should ever find it, as children often do, you'll recognize the cauldron of the witch's magic brew. You'll hear the lone owls hooting, the black cat's mournful cries, and every shadowed corner will sprout with gleaming eyes. There will be fun aplenty for all who venture there, and laughter will run riot upon the misty air. As little folks come trooping when darkness settles down to light the yellow pumpkins in Jack-O-Lantern Town. So on that note, get out there and carve some pumpkins of your own. Decorate your homes, your apartments, your places of residence. Surround yourself by them. Go check out the amazing festivals that are happening in New England if you're able to. And I hope you enjoyed a little bit of history, fun facts that had to do with the jack-o'-lantern and pumpkins. And I hope it gave you an idea of what are some good places to go to if you love them as much as I do. So on that note, a big cheers. And as always, happy haunting and a very special happy Halloween and happy Samhain to all of my listeners.